We really, really do need one another. We need each other. We need each other to survive. And for the next 40 days, we're going to enter into and begin a radical quest, an incredible journey, a journey that's countercultural to everything that we've ever been taught in our life, because in this nation, in the United States of America, in this world, we love our independence. We love to try to go it on our own. We're a nation founded on our independence. And we assume that happiness comes from isolation. We assume that happiness comes from being that old cowboy in that television commercial that was just him and his Marlboro cigarette and he was going to tackle the world, because to need somebody is a sign of weakness, but to be able to do life on our own is a sign of strength. But we want to realize today and for the next 40 days that we want a declaration of interdependence. That interdependence of community is what brings us happiness. I mean, after all, if you think about it, solitary confinement is a punishment. I mean, solitary confinement is a punishment. When we take a prisoner who's not behaving, we throw them into a cell, we close the doors, and we put them by themselves. Why? Because that's a punishment. And for too long, you and I have sought to punish ourselves by pulling further away from each other, by locking ourselves in our rooms or in our basements or emotionally pulling ourselves away from others instead of doing the opposite that God promises to us will give us a better life. In Romans 12:5 it says, "Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others." So for 40 days, we're going to take a look at relationships. We're going to take a look at good relationships and how they can get better. We're going to take a look at difficult and bad relationships and how we can grow in reconciliation and beyond those moments. We're going to figure out how we all can get better and grow more intimate with one another and with Christ. And there's five basic reasons why we need each other in this process. There's five basic reasons why we're entering into this sermon series and this campaign of 40 Days of Community. There's five basic reasons why I need others in my life. And the first one is this. I need others to walk with me. I need others to walk with me, to help me grow spiritually, to help me on this journey of life. And in Colossians 2:6 it says, "Just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." The Bible's simple. The Bible's logical here. He explains our relationship with God as a journey, as an experience of putting one foot in front of the other. And our relationship is not just any old journey, it's a spiritual journey. It's a journey of connection with God. And it's a journey of connection with God through the reading of God's Word and His Scriptures in the Bible. And so we'll talk about verses on Sunday mornings. We'll open up God's Word during the week in our life. It's a journey of walking in God's light and letting that Word illumine our hearts. It's a journey of God's love and feeling His presence and love in our hearts. And it's a journey of our obedience to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what? That presence of God that lives in us and shines through us and shows us the way that God would have us go. But all of us walk at a different pace. All of us are at a different place. We're all on this journey of life together, but we tend to be at different places in that journey along the way. Some of us are at mile marker one. Some of us are just at the finish line. Some of us are just at the starting line. Some of us are at mile marker 10. You know, when Erin and I walk someplace, sometimes she gets frustrated at me because when I walk, one of my paces is about the size of three people. And I also walk a little bit faster sometimes than others. And if I'm not careful, you know, I'll look back and Erin's way back there because, you know, her strides are much smaller than mine and I don't even realize what I've done. And I think sometimes it's so easy to be out in front of life and you've left people behind, or it's so easy to be falling behind and everybody's out in front of you. And we've got to realize that no matter where we're at, we're meant to do this journey of life together. But some of you are sitting there saying, "Pastor, when I get my own way, when I walk alone, I get my own way. You know, when I'm on my own, I get to do things on my own." And the answer to that question is, well, yes, you do. And that's part of the problem. That's part of the reason why we're doing this. That's part of the issues that we carry, is that we think we can do it on our own. So why walk together? Why learn to cooperate together? Why learn to rely on other people together? Why learn to trust each other? Well, three simple reasons. And the first one is because it's safer to walk together. I mean, nobody has ever invited you to walk alone at night. No one has said to you, "You should go out in the dark tonight and walk alone." No, anytime someone talks to you about walking at night, what do they suggest to you? Well, don't walk alone, I'll go with you. Or make sure that you have somebody with you. Why? Because it's just automatically safer. I'm not saying that anything's going to happen to you, but it's just safer for you to walk with somebody. No soldier goes into battle without a partner next to them, without a comrade in arms next to them. Why? Because two are stronger than one. It's just safer. When we were camping a couple weeks ago, we laid down some ground rules for the kids, and we said, you're not to go anywhere in the campground alone. You go with your brother. You go with your sister. You don't go to the bathhouse alone. And if it's at night, not only do you not go alone, but an adult needs to go with you. Why? Because it's just safer. So walking together is safer in life. Walking together is also more supportive. There are people in life that have caused us to take steps that we normally wouldn't take had they not been around. You and I have taken faithful steps, difficult steps. We've overcome challenges because somebody was there to overcome them with us. Somebody was there to walk with us and to push us and to nudge us. Take, for example, my daughter Haley, who was having the I'm diving off the diving board experience for the very first time last month in August when we were down in Dayton visiting my folks. Now, every one of us goes through these moments with our kids that, you know, these moments of triumph where, well, each kid is going to learn to go through the diving board experience because now Austin and Tawn have already done that. You know, each kid is going to learn the homework experience. They're going to learn the potty training experience. And, you know, it's just kind of this domino process that you work with one child to get them there, and then you work with the next child to get them there, and then the next child. So we're at the diving board experience with Haley, and so she's walking out on this diving board, and she doesn't even get, like, beyond the ladder very much. And she's standing up on the diving board, and she takes one look at the water, and she thinks about it, and then she turns around and gets off the diving board, right? And so now the family's gathered around, and I'm sitting there encouraging her, saying, you can do this, you can do this. And the lifeguard who's there on duty, who happens to be a friend of the family that day, is coming out and saying, you know, you can do this. I'll even get in the water for you, and I'll catch you when you jump. And so Haley gets up on the diving board, and she steps up a few inches further and a few feet further, and I think she's getting to the end of the board, and then she turns around and runs back down off the diving board. And so now Austin and Tawna go before her and say, watch us. You know, see how we do it. And then I get up there and I smack my belly as I go into water. But I say, no, pay attention to the pain, but you can do this. You can do this. And so then she gets up and she walks out to the end of the diving board and she bounces. And then she turns around and gets back off the diving board again. And so we say, you know, we let some time pass, about 15 or 20 minutes. And then she walked back over the diving board and said, we know you can do this. You can do this. And she walks out to the edge of the diving board. And she jumps up and down and she bounces. And she finally jumps into the water. And then we couldn't keep her off the diving board the rest of the day. The rest of the day. So much of life is like that. So many things that we need to overcome. So many barriers that are standing in our way that we can't do them without somebody else. So walking together is safer, it's more supportive, and it's also smarter. Did you know that you can learn from others? Did you know that you can learn from others' triumphs, but you can also learn from other people's mistakes? Did you know that you don't have to spend your entire life making every mistake that you need to make in order to grow in your life? Why? Because somebody else around you has screwed up before. Somebody else around you has made mistakes before. You don't have to hold the corner on making mistakes because you can learn from other people's mistakes. You can learn from other people's challenges. You're sitting around people who have made mistakes in this room right now. And some of you are sitting there thinking, you're right, I do know some screw-ups in my life. I do have some issues with some people, and everyone makes mistakes, and none of us are perfect, and all of us have issues, and we can learn from those things. And so walking together makes us smarter. It makes us safer. It allows us to have a more supportive life. Why? Because we can learn from each other. You are smarter when you walk with somebody else. In Genesis it says, it is not good for man or for woman to be alone. And there's a simple truth about God here. God hates certain things. And one of the things that God hates is loneliness. He despises it. He hates loneliness. And some of us are here today and we're feeling lonely. And God has given you a physical family, but God also wants to introduce you to a spiritual family that lasts forever, and that's the body of Christ. And some of us have a family, and yet we find ourselves in a marriage and we still feel lonely. We find ourselves with our kids and we still feel lonely. We find ourselves even coming to church and we still feel lonely. We find ourselves at work surrounded by people all day long, and inside we still feel loneliness. You see, community is God's answer to loneliness. True and authentic community. Now, this is not necessarily community here. This is a crowd. This is a gathering, a large group of people. But what God longs for us to have is a smaller group of community, a place of 10 or 12 people or smaller than that where we can get together and build incredible relationships, where there's a few people in our life to practice relationships and to learn how to love one another. A small group experience much like what this couple in our church has experienced. Watch this screen. I want you to say something with me. And I want you to hear this and believe this in your heart that says this: I really, really need a small group. In fact, I want us to say that together, except we're going to do three reallys instead of two. Okay? We're going to do that together. And it goes like this. We're going to do it together. You ready? You ready to do this? I really, really, really need a small group. All right, I'm going to try that one more time, because if we were hollering for the ice cream man to come down our block, he wouldn't be coming. Okay? So we got to do that one more time. I really, really, really need a small group. We do need a small group. Why? Because I need others to walk with me. I also need others to work with me. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, God made us to do good works, which He planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. God made us to do good works, which He planned in advance for us in our lives to be doing. You see, before birth, before God even created you, He set out a design and an incredible experience. He created you with a unique identity. He gave you special gifts and special abilities, special talents that only you have in your specific makeup, and only you have in the blueprint that He created and made in you. And He gave you a ministry. He gave you an opportunity to use those gifts and to use that opportunity of talent and to use those things that He put in your life to serve others, to serve His kingdom, and to serve His local church, and to come together with others who have different and various gifts and talents to make up His movement of God here in this place. Now, the problem of what happens over time is that we don't do this together, but that many get exhausted in ministry and in life and get worn out and tired after a while. You hear of people who just serve their guts out in a certain area for 5 or 6 years. They're the ones that run with the prayer ministry in the church, or they're the ones that just love to make the pot of soup every Sunday, or whatever it is. And then 4 or 5 years later, they get worn out and tired and weary. Why? Well, because number one, they begin to get resentful of what they do because they're the only ones doing it, and it gets kind of lonely. But secondly, they get worn out and weary. Why? Because they're the only ones doing it. Because they're the only ones doing it. We try to do it all on our own, and we're never meant to do that. About a month and a half back, the playground out here got a load of mulch, and talking to Sarah, our preschool director, said, "Hey, we need to get that mulch spread out. Can you get that done? Or think about getting it done." She's talking to Carrie about organizing it. And I thought to myself, well, if I showed up with me and maybe one of my kids, we could probably knock that out in an hour or two and probably get the minimum done. And I thought about that. I said, but if I did that, I would, at the end of that hour and a half, be tired and cranky and irritable and resentful for having to do that. So I thought to myself, what a great opportunity to invite others to come alongside of this experience and be a part of it. And so I started making phone calls, and Carrie started making phone calls. And pretty soon, by the time that Sunday time rolled around, we had 5 or 6, 7 people out there, guys and gals, helping to spread mulch. And one person brought a wheelbarrow, and the other person brought a pitchfork, and the other person brought a shovel, and another person brought some loppers, and another person brought a pair of gloves. And all of a sudden, not only were we spreading mulch, but we were trimming tree branches, and we were pulling weeds, and we were having a blast, and we knocked it out in like a half an hour, 45 minutes. And by the end of our time there, everybody was really excited and energized about what we had done. And I didn't go home thinking, I never want to do that again. I went home thinking, hey, when can we do the next thing together? When can we serve together again? Why? Because there's such power when we share God's work and our servant opportunities together, when we do those things together. In Ecclesiastes, it says something very logical and very simple. It says two people are better than one. Why? Well, because they get more done by working together. You see, the Bible is logical. God can make sense in practical, everyday, real life. Two people are better than one. Why? Because we get more done when we do it together. You see, God's called us to an incredible mission here at Old Fort Church. He's called us to bring people to Jesus, into a personal relationship for the first time, or to return people into a right relationship with God. And that's going to take radical hospitality, and that's going to take us creating passionate worship, and to live into risk-taking mission, and to meet people's needs with love, and to reach out to bring heaven down here on earth and to send it out of these walls into the community. That means being a 911 church, to be there for the emergencies of life. It means partnering with local schools, and so much more. And did you know that one person can't do all that stuff? I mean, one person can't do all that on their own. But together, we can change the world. Together, we can change this community. Together, we can change the campus at Heidelberg. Together, we can change the town of Old Fort. We can change Baskin. We can change Tiffin. We can change Fremont. We can change Bettsville. We can change Green Springs. We can change Clyde. We can change all those places for the better when we do it together. You see, community is God's answer to fatigue. To fatigue, because you and I were created to work together, and we were never meant to do these things on our own. 40 days of community is going to be an opportunity for us to embark on a lot of things, But one of the things you're going to experience right away, that Rick Warren, the pastor who created this curriculum, he's going to challenge us to pick a project, a local project that our small groups can be involved in and a part of, and so that we can do it together and realize that God can use us and that we can do more together than we ever can on our own. Thirdly, not only do I need others to walk with me or to work with me, I need others to also watch out for me, to watch out for me. I need people to defend me and protect me and warn me. In Philippians, Paul says, look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. Now, why did the author just not stop there at the beginning and say, hey, look out for one another's interests? He has to add that last piece there. Why? Because you and I are so good at that last piece. You and I do such a great job of looking out for our own interests, for looking out for number one. In our house, for example, the food is a big issue sometimes in the house. You know, we're constantly fighting over the last Twinkie or figuring out who's going to get the last bowl of cereal. I hide my beef jerky sometimes so I can make sure that Dad has enough food. When the bucket of chicken comes home from KFC, I make sure there's enough pieces of white meat in there and make sure that the kids get the dark meat because I'm a white meat kind of guy. So don't tell me that we don't think about ourselves first and foremost, because I'm admitting to you that I still struggle with those moments in my life. It's those simple and small things that we do to just kind of nudge ourselves into the right spot so our needs can be met. Jimmy Bright, who is our student intern this summer and continues to work with our youth ministry, a lot of you guys know Jimmy, stayed at our house a couple times this summer as my family took vacation to kind of look over the house. And, you know, Jimmy did a pretty good job. I mean, we came back and the basement floor was wet because the humidifier had overflowed. We came back and the garbage was still out in the garage and smelled like a garbage dump. We came back and the grass was only about 6 or 8 inches tall, but he did a pretty decent job. He did a good job. I like to bust Jimmy's chops. He's a good guy. But, you know, we did that so Jimmy could look after our what? Look after our stuff, right? Look after the church's parsonage. Look after the house over there. We do that all the time in our neighborhoods, right? We form neighborhood watches. We want people to look after our property and our possessions. We want them to make sure that what's in our houses and what's in our garages stays what's in our houses and what's in our garages, and people protect those things. And so here's a question for us today. Who's helping us with our spiritual stuff? Who's helping you with your spiritual stuff? Who's looking after your spiritual intentions with God? Who's out there for your best intentions and not just their own? Who's going to do that? Because those things are much more important than the stuff that's in our house and the stuff that's in our garage. Think about this for a second. If you have a taillight out in your car, are you going to be able to figure that out on your own? Or are you going to need the person that's been driving behind you to let you know that your taillight's out? If you have some food hanging from your mustache or your beard, are you going to notice that right away, or is someone going to have to show you that you need to take care of that? If you're unzipped or you got a booger hanging out of your nose, I mean, listen, you're not going to be able to figure these things out on your own. You need somebody else that has a different perspective than what you have about your own life to be able to discover the things that we need to take care of or change in our life to make sure that we're living in the best possible direction we can. Here's a couple of realities. God exists. Secondly, we have to deal with the fact that God exists. Thirdly, Satan exists as well. You and I have a spiritual enemy, just as much as we have a loving God in our life. And if we choose to, he can run our lives. He hates you. He hates your guts. He wants to hurt you. He wants to mess up your life. He wants to confuse you. He wants to do nothing other than to get you to waste your time. He wants you to live for the 401ks. He wants you to live for the promotions. He wants you to live for the extracurricular activities with your family and friends. He wants you to live beyond thinking about God and living beyond thinking about God's will and plan for your life. And so he's going to lie to you, and he's going to plot, and he's going to plan on how to get you to miss out on what God has set forward and forth for you. And you can't win this battle on your own. You can't win this battle on your own. There's a couple of guys here that are part of a house called the Hog House, right? Who lives in the Hog House here? Now, what does that stand for? House of God's Servants. House of God's Servants. It's a group of guys who've gotten together that believe in this principle that you can't do life on your own. You can't do life on your own at a college campus because there is a lot of temptation. There's a lot of stuff going on. And so these guys live in this house together, and they pray for one another, and they care for each other, and they've got each other's backs. Why? Because Satan is alive and well and wants nothing other than to defeat us and destroy us. And community is God's answer to defeat. Community is God's answer to defeat. In Ecclesiastes, it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I want us to go ahead and put that video up back there, guys. Can we get that video up? This is a video from YouTube. It's called The Battle at Krieger. And this is the number one most downloaded video on YouTube. Got that video? We're getting there. There we go. Now, this has been shot by an amateur in an African savannah. And if you can't tell, here's a group of buffalo that are approaching from the left. And they're just kind of hanging out in life, minding their own business. And guess who appears? Satan, the lions. And what are the lions doing? They're just kind of lying in the grass. They're lying and waiting. They're like the snake in the grass. And all of a sudden, what happens in our life? We have this collision and we have this crisis. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves approaching a dangerous intersection and being chased down by the enemy. We find ourselves being chased after. And by the way, if you're an animal lover, this could get a little graphic for you, but I promise it's going to be good in the end, okay? What does Satan do? Satan always picks out our weaknesses, doesn't he? Satan always goes for the simple and smallest struggle in our life. He goes for the simple and smallest challenge in our life, and he kind of gnaws on us, and he kind of chews on us there, and he kind of weasels his way into that moment, and he tries to get into that chink in our armor, especially when we try to do things on our own. And we find ourselves alone a lot of the time and trying to do life on our own. And then all of a sudden what happens is, here comes the church and the pastor, and they come and rescue us. You see, the church and the pastor and our small group, they say, enough is enough. We see that you have issues in your life, and we're not going to stand for it anymore. We love you enough. We're going to come alongside of you, and we're going to help you deal with this issue that you have in your life. We're going to come along and rescue you. We're going to come along and help you from despair. And we're going to come along, and we're going to surround you with our love. And we're going to surround you with our experiences. We're going to surround you with our care. And we're going to do something. We're going to do something about that struggle that you have. We're not just going to stand here. We're not just going to watch and just watch this thing unfold. We're going to participate, and we're going to take care of, and we're going to run off some of your problems. We're going to get involved in your life, and we're going to ask you to get involved in our life, and we're going to take care of Satan with you. We love you enough to come alongside of you and know that you can't do life on your own. And then we're going to come back to the larger group, and we're going to pray for one another, and we're going to continue to gather as the local church, and we're going to look for any way possible that we can take care of one another. And we're going to stare the lion in the face, and we're going to tell Satan that you have no room in this place. And we're going to run Satan off, and we're going to claim the name of Jesus in the work that he needs to do in our lives. And the whole group's going to get involved. We're all going to have a big take Satan out party. And we're just going to run him off. And the reason why we do that for one another is because you and I have burdens that don't want to let go, even when we try to let them go. But we do this because we believe that if we get together, if we live in community, if we get involved in a small group, if we live beyond ourselves, that somehow, someday, you and I will be set free. You and I will be set free. Can you believe that that calf survived that attack? That calf is alive and well and no worse for the wear. Okay, we can go ahead and cut that video. Why is that calf alive and well today? Because of a community that loved it enough and believed in it enough to rescue it from the grasp of the lion. You know, the Bible refers to Satan as what? A lion seeking someone to devour. And you and I need each other for so many reasons. We need each other to walk with us, to work with us, to watch out for us. You see, community is God's answer to defeat, but we also need each other to wait and weep with us. In 1 Corinthians, it says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. You know, when I'm dealing with a crisis, I need people in my life. When I'm waiting for the bad news, when I'm at the hospital, or when I get the phone call from the doctor, nobody should wait alone. Nobody should weep through their issues alone. Nobody should have to deal with those things on their own. We need a network of support in our life. Some of you know Jim Ritter, who's been a spiritual father to a lot of people in this church for a long time. He's been going through a lot of struggles lately. He's been dealing with issues with his back and with his knees, some life issues, and then also, most recently, cancer. And he's had major, major surgery and continue to go through chemo and radiation even as we speak. And there's be times I'll call up and check on him. I'll come over to pray with him and visit, and he'll say, yeah, I just had a group of people from my small group come over and pray for me last night. And then I'll be talking to somebody else in the church about Jim and letting them know that we need to keep praying for him. And says, yeah, we had a group of people from the church that were over at his house just last night praying for him. And I'm thinking, this is great. This is amazing. I mean, don't we need that in our life? I mean, don't we need people to come alongside of one another in those times where we're dealing with desperate, desperate issues? I shared with you that a former member of this church or former family of this church that moved to Kentucky actually were at the hospital in Cincinnati where Erin was the day of Isabel's surgery when Erin was down there by herself, and they showed up and they hung out with Erin and they came alongside of her and gave her support. I mean, community is God's answer to despair, isn't it? I mean, community is God's answer to despair. God says this in His Word, encourage each other and strengthen one another. Our very presence encourages people and strengthens people. And listen, you don't have to have fancy words. You don't have to go to get a seminary degree to be able to be with one another and to wait and to weep with somebody else. You just need to be there for them. And they will be there for you. You just kind of sit with them. You don't have to fix their problems. You don't have to offer advice to them. Because the truth is, most people don't want your advice. They just want you. They want your love. They want your presence. They want your prayers. And you don't have to fix a single thing. We need each other to wait and weep with us. Lastly, I need others to witness with me. I need others to help me share the good news that God has given to each and every one of us. We were created for a mission and a purpose, and all of us have been given a life message to share with the world. And that can be scary when we start throwing out the word like evangelism. Woo! You just mentioned evangelism. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can talk about Jesus to others. I don't know if I can share my faith. Well, here's the good news. You don't have to do it on your own. We're going to do it together. When we worship together and we praise together, this experience changes people's lives and they experience the love of God. Shockingly, our best witness happens when we love other Christians. Our best witness is when we love other believers, because the world doesn't love on each other right now. The world is full of a bunch of haters. And sometimes we're accused of, we do that ourselves. We walk out of this place and we become haters. And other people hate us. And the more we learn to love each other unconditionally, the more people say, I want to be a part of that, because love has this way of spreading. And it's not about our buildings or our music or our sermons. It's about our love for each other. In John it says, your love for one another will prove to the world, will prove that you are my disciples. And so you and I choose to invest in other people that don't know God or far from God or far from the church. We invest in their lives and we build friendships with them to someday hope to invite them to worship or invite them to a harvest party or invite them to a small group. And so what we do is we bring people here in these places to experience what? The presence and the exchange of God's love from one person to the other. And it is that love that exposes them to God's love. And so for the next 40 days, we're going to start a revolution. We're going to start a revolution, a love revolution. Okay? And this is going to be known as the Love Shack, because we're going to come here and we're going to share love together. And we're going to experience God's love together. And we're going to share God's love together. And we're going to learn better community. And we're going to learn to grow in intimacy. And we're going to learn to open ourselves up in real ways. Why? Because we hope to be able to answer yes to this question someday. Is anyone going to go to heaven because of you? Is anyone going to go to heaven because of what you do? I can help you with that. If you would be willing to step yourself into a small group, if you'd be willing to invite somebody that's far from God or that's trying to learn God all over again in their life and invite them to that group, you might be able to answer yes to that question someday. Because God's answer to fear is community. God's answer to fear of sharing God's good news with others is community. In Philippians it says, you are working together and struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. So we work together so we can reach others for Jesus Christ in community. We each really, really, really need a group. It's not a hard thing. It's a real easy thing. God didn't bring you here to just watch this all happen and unfold before you. You were brought here for a reason and a purpose. God brought you here for what is going to happen. He brought you here for a purpose, to get involved in 40 Days of Community. I want to invite the band to come up for their closing number, and I want to share a couple of action steps with you. First of all, pray about committing to the next 6 weeks here at Old Fort Church. I want you to look around the room right now, and I want you to look around the room and think about those people that have missed out today, those people that you know that aren't here today. And I want you to pray for them, and I want you to help them think about their commitment for the next 6 weeks here at Old Fort Church. And I want you to talk to them about it, and I want you to pray about it in your own heart. I want you to share with people, and I want you to share with yourselves how we can be committed to the next six weeks, including today. The 40 days starts today. The reading of that book back there starts today. Our small groups start this week, and our worship time started with today and is going to last for the next 6 weeks, the next 40 days. Commit to those things. Secondly, commit to invest and invite someone to worship with you next week. Maybe invite somebody to your small group. Make sure you get that book back there. Make sure you sign up for that small group on your way out and participate in this, and then invite somebody else to do the same. And then lastly, I want you to, you know what, I gave up my card. Hey, somebody grab some. Hey, Jimmy. Is there more? What's that? This has been filled out. Hey, Jimmy, there's some bulletins back there. Can you bring some bulletins in here for me? Each of you should have received a card, and if anybody doesn't have a bulletin or this card, raise your hand and we'll get some more to you. Anybody without one of these cards? Keep your hand up. I need one of those too when you get a chance. And on this card, it's an opportunity for us to make our commitment before God. And the card just simply says, believing that God created me to be better together with other believers and believing that He wants me to fulfill His purposes for my life and community, I commit the next 40 days to better understanding how to live in community and how to reach out to my community. And there's three simple commitments there that we've talked about. I will participate in a 40 days of community small group. I will read each day's devotional from the Better Together workbook. I will do my best to hear all six messages in the series Better Together. Hey, some of you are going to miss Sunday morning, and that happens. That's great. We've got them on CDs back there. The messages are online. You can download the messages on the web. And there's an opportunity for us to fully participate all 6 weeks. And so I want you to fill this card out here and now, right now. Check off those boxes. Sign your name. Some of you don't know if you're ready to make all these commitments yet. I want you to check these things off and sign your name anyway, because there's something between our intentions and God's reality that launches us into making decisions we thought we never could make. And so take an opportunity right now to fill this out, and during this closing song as we sing it together, I invite you to come down and place your commitment in this offering basket. So as you go this week, know that we weren't designed and created to do life on our own, but that we were meant for community. Not just any old community, but a spiritual family. For us to be loved and for us to love one another in Christian unity and to share the troubles and the struggles and the good times and the celebrations in our life together. To ward off the lions, to step forward in life, and to do God's will here on earth. Go this week. Don't go before you get your book. Don't go before you sign up for a small group. Start your reading today. Attend your first small group experience this week. Go this week and have a great week. God bless. Amen.